That is why grace is working in their hearts. God coming to work in their hearts. So to achieve it, how did he do it? How did he promise he would do it to the Jews? Now Ezekiel 36. Open Ezekiel 36. From verse 24. You must understand salvation so that you can have something to judge yourself by. This is how he will do it. For I will take you from among the heathen. This is the process. And gather you out of all countries. And will bring you into your own land. And they were released from the Babylonian captivity. And then they were coming to Israel. They were coming because, remember, they were scattered because they refused to obey the law. And they were scattered all over the world. And God now knows that that old covenant, they have broken it, they have failed, they cannot keep it. In preparation to bring the new covenant, he gathered them round the whole world, everywhere they were scattered, back to the land. What were they coming for? They were coming to receive grace. And they all gathered. And he said, when he gathered them, can we continue? He says, let's read on. Hallelujah. Verse 24 again. He says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. That water is to flow from the fountain of living water. Christ himself came with that water to sprinkle it upon them. Let's read on. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? After that, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you heart, and heart of flesh. And verse 27 now. And I will put my spirit, the Holy Ghost. After he has arranged your heart, he has given you a new spirit. Now, I will put my spirit now within you. To do what? And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them by that same spirit of God that is in you. The emphasis, therefore, is the heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the process. So, how did he start to achieve it? He started speaking of it in prophecy. In Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Maybe before we read Joel chapter 2, the scripture just come into my mind now. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, chapter 3. I think that is the scripture. Praise the Lord. To make you understand what grace is all about. Chapter 3 and verse 3. Yes. It said, for as much as you, the believers, he said, are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone as was given to them during the law, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Where is the law written now? In the heart. Psalm 40 and verse 8. Psalm 40 and verse 8. The psalmist cut it this way. He said, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, yea. Thy law is within my heart. And Psalm 119 verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And to achieve that in prophecy, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Amen. This is the way he put it. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The average Pentecostal man is looking at this scripture in the area of the anointing and the exercise of the gifts. But the bride of Jesus Christ, our eyes have been opened to see deeper than that. Because we are connecting it to grace. For that was the beginning of the entrance of grace. And he says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this thing happened on the day of Pentecost. But before that day of Pentecost came, Christ, or rather the Spirit of God, was also preparing us through various prophecies and ordinances. Now, in Leviticus chapter 23, there are some feasts that we are listed there. One of the feasts there is the Feast of Pentecost. And the Feast of Pentecost was preparing the people for the beginning of the new covenant. Let's see how it applies. Verse 9, Leviticus chapter 23. Let's read it from verse 9 and up to verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, you better listen, because this is not in any bookshop. So you won't buy any book like that that will tell you anything about this. Okay? Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf. You are going to reap a harvest, but you bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Listen carefully. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. When? On the morrow after the Sabbath. So which is the day after the Sabbath? Eh? The next day after the Sabbath. That's why he said on the morrow after the Sabbath. Which day? On Sunday, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when you have the sheaf and heifer without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering. Hallelujah. Unto the Lord. Verse 13. Listen carefully. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of the fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savour, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Verse 15. And ye shall count. Listen now, verse 15 and 16. And ye shall count unto you. You see? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will explain that. And ye shall count unto you. Amen. Let me explain from verse 9 to 14 first. Before we come to verse 15. The first harvest, listen, the first harvest, you will, when you have come to your land, now it's time for harvest, he said you will take a sheaf of the first fruits, the first harvest, you will take it to the priest, and he will wave it. Praise the Lord. And I say, every ordinance in the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says so. So what is this speaking of? And when is this supposed to be waived? It was supposed to be waived on the next day after the Sabbath, on a Sunday, the first day of the week. And the Bible refers to Jesus Christ as the first begotten from the dead. The first harvest of God's children on earth here, that we are dead. The first son that he harvested. That's why he allowed Jesus Christ to die. It's Jesus Christ. He died, and it was time for God to begin to harvest his children from this earth that we are so dead. For resurrection, what did he do? It was on Sunday morning that Jesus Christ resurrected. And he's supposed to be a wave offering for everybody. Wave that is, see, everybody see. Everybody see. He is risen. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what he did. He was appearing here, disappear, appear here, confirming, and everybody ran, and then they say he is risen, and everybody saw that he arose. Now, from verse 15, it says, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheep of the wave offering, from that day of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Sunday morning, he said, what will you do? You will count 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. 7 weeks. 7 days in a week. 7 times 7 is how many days? How many days? 49 days. Let's read on. Let's read on. Are you following? Even, you will count it unto the morrow, the next day, after the 7th Sabbath, shall you number how many days? 50 days. When it is 50 days, there is another thing you have to do. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. A new, hallelujah, a new meat offering unto the Lord. That is exactly the setting in the upper room we are going to now. Verse 17. Ye shall bring out of your habitation, take note, 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. Fine flour. They shall this time be baking with leaven. It means they are carnal people. Simple people. Ordinary flesh. They are those people. That love that you want to offer now. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And now see how it was fulfilled. After he resurrected. Take note. He revealed himself. Luke chapter 1 verse 3. Let's read it. Sorry. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. He said, to whom also, concerning Christ, also he showed himself, Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them. How many days? That's where I am going. How many days was he seen? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is the story. After he resurrected, from that Sunday that he resurrected, the wave offering, showing himself to people, lasted 40 days. And he was taken up. He ascended up. 10 days after, before he left, he told his disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. which you will receive not many days from now.
It was on the 50th day, because remember, the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, that day of Pentecost was the observance of that ordinance that had been given to them. That's why everybody, all the Jews gathered in Jerusalem to perform that ordinance, that feast of Pentecost. And it is not a coincidence, brother. It was God fulfilling scripture, fulfilling prophecy. The things that were spoken in the Old Testament were about to be made real now. The new covenant is about to be ushered in. The old one is about to be taken away. On that same day of Pentecost, that was the day they were all gathering and continue with their normal ordinance. But unknown to them, there was a spiritual fulfillment that was going on. On that same day, while you were there feasting with level loaf, it was speaking of those people that were in the upper room. And they were supposed to be offered as a burnt offering, a sacrifice that will come by fire. It was on the 50th day. It was on the day of Pentecost. 10 days after he ascended, he came down on the 50th day and poured his fire on the day of Pentecost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, when we say we are Pentecostals, we are not referring to the feast of Pentecost. We are referring to the experience that took place on the day of Pentecost. That experience was what brought grace to us. And from that day, the Old Testament was done away with the law. Now, everything was spiritualized in Christ. This time now, God is fulfilling Jeremiah 31. He's fulfilling Ezekiel 36. He's fulfilling the prophecy of Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. Coming, that was the culmination of the beginning of grace. The emphasis of grace is the heart. It's the heart. It's the heart. Therefore, don't look at your brain. Some people stop their head with scriptures, but they don't allow it to reach their heart. The reason is simple. Because only the Holy Ghost can drop it from your head to your heart. And you can never be converted until you remove scripture from your head to your heart. But that is the meaning of grace. Praise Master Jesus. If you are a partaker of grace, shout hallelujah. Ask your neighbor now, are you part of grace? No, ask him very well. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why in Acts chapter 2, if you read it from verse 1, all that took place on the day of Pentecost, and people were confused. And Peter had to stand up that day and tell them, why are you thinking that we are drunk? We are not drunk. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. And the emphasis is all flesh, because he is now reaching a stage in grace now. The same grace that was extended to the Jews is now going to be extended to the whole world. Now, whether you are a servant, a slave, a Jew, a man, a woman, a king, whoever you are, is the same spirit. Now, salvation is for all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, this grace was first offered to the Jews. But they rejected it. That's what Apostle Paul was saying in Romans chapter 10.
And verse 16 to verse 21, we have to read these scriptures. Are we there? Praise the Lord. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they, the Jews, not heard? Because it was preached to them on the day of Pentecost. Years after, it was preached to them. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, praise the Lord. Did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And we are the Gentiles, we are the ones. And by a foolish nation, I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not, the Gentiles. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Verse 21. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And that estate of the Jews, that they will reject grace, something God has done away with, and hold on to that which God has done away with, refuse to accept the move of God, was also spoken severally. Even John the Baptist, this is the way he put it in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 to verse 10. So when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, John said unto them, O generation of vipers! Amen. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There is a wrath to come. There is a wrath to come. The next verse. Bring forth therefore fruits. You see the emphasis? Evidence of salvation. Bring forth fruits. Meat suitable for repentance. Bring forth fruits that is evidence that you have repented. If you have repented, there is a fruit that will follow. The next verse. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Because there are many of us that say, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is that you believe the message of your day. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now, my emphasis now. My emphasis now, the next verse. That is my emphasis. And now, also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not fruit good, which bringeth not forth good fruit, what is done to it? Cut off and cast where? The lake of fire. So the emphasis is what? Fruit. If you don't bring forth fruit, what will happen? It will cut you off. And so, the same thing now, in making salvation clearer and clearer, different stories and parables are told in the Bible that are supposed to be instructive to his children. You see? And let me take two or three of them. For instance, the story of Esther. Esther chapter 1 and chapter 2. Go home and read it fully. Esther was a nobody in Persia. King Ahasuerus. She was a slave. Can you imagine? A nobody. Slave or slave. You see? There was a king by the name of Ahasuerus. And he had a queen. What's the name of the queen? Vashta. And he made a feast. And told them to come. Invited guests everywhere. He wanted to show forth his queen. Invited Vashta to come. Vashta refused. And because she refused, the story goes, He had to put her away. The axe is led to the root of every tree to be cut off. And before you know what, they needed a replacement. Hallelujah. And before you know what, certain criteria were given that this message must not branch that side now. But we have spoken about it several times. That story is the salvation of the Gentiles. That story is the story of the seven church ages. That story is the story of the star messengers, the chamberlains that prepare the bride for the king. The same qualification that qualified Esther to replace Vashti is the same qualification. Vashti is Israel. Rejected salvation. So they had to be put away, and then another queen had to replace. And this time, a nobody, a Gentile queen, known as the bride, the queen. Are they here today? Amen. But Esther was prepared by a star messenger, a chamberlain. Everybody was presented for preparation. But when it was time for inspection, oh glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh glory be to God. When it was time for inspection, she was not found. She was the only one found worthy. Others were rejected. Why? She only listened to the voice of the messenger of her day. The chamberlain for their day. And our chamberlain for our day is the man William Marion Branham. In the days of the voice of the seventh chamberlain, in the King Ahasuerus palace, there were seven chamberlains. They were speaking of the seven stars in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. Each of them, for each of the seven church ages, to prepare a queen. So, Esther replaced Vashti. So, the bride of Jesus Christ, the Gentile bride, so also we replace Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a mystery. And so he went further to explain it, Jesus himself, in the parable of the marriage feast in Matthew 22. Can we read it from verse 1? It is speaking of salvation. Matthew 22 from verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. That king is the father of creation, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, his son. And they will not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage, but they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies. Somebody shout armies. And destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. When did that take place? AD 70. General Titus from Rome came with his armies and scattered them and destroyed them because they rejected salvation. The next verse. Now that they have rejected them, then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. He said, go ye therefore into the highways and the nightclubs. They and all the prostitute dens and the beer palace. Go to the shrine. Go among Agberos and bring out people like Igbo and Boboye. Bring them out. The way I see some of us here, bring some of us, we are masquerade carriers. Bring them out. Let's read on. And as many as you shall find, beat to the marriage. Go and evangelize. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both good, bad and good. Both those of you who were already good and those of us who were terribly bad. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Amen. But that marriage, there is a certain way you are supposed to appear. So the next verse. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Anytime I read this place, I say, that person was from Bride Assembly. That person that is referred to there, now Bride Assembly today. How do I know it's from Bride Assembly? Do you know that in Matthew 7:21, he said, not all that said, Lord, 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 shall enter the kingdom of God, but then that do the will of the Father. He said, at that day many will come and say, was it not in your name I cast out devils? So it means they could face Jesus. There was something they had to argue with him. But this particular one could not talk. Matthew 7:21-22. They are the denominational people playing with anointing and ignorant of the divine agenda. But Matthew 22, that man that was without the wedding garment is the dress that we have tried all this while to dress you with, the garment of righteousness. So, and he said, how come? How did you find your way here? He was speechless because there is none of you, hearing me now, has excuse to miss the rapture. Therefore, you will have nothing to say. The next verse, hear what he did. Amen. Then said the king to the servants, what did he do? Bind him hand and foot. Like you see, the Holy Ghost, they do testing for some people on the ground here. And I discovered that now women, then they bind leg this way more in the church here. A foretaste of what will happen. And if you look at those where then they bind, they are either stubborn in their heart or they are so worldly, coming to a church like this and dressing like prostitutes with all manner of things on their head. Look at their toes, you see all manner of painting. They are the type that wear long skirt to the church and wear trousers in their streets. Hey, they fear man more than God. The God they serve, now only church if they see them. When they leave church, you know they see them. And then you come among us. It is because you believe you belong here. If not, there are churches that wear trousers. Why don't you go there? It's because there's something inside of you that tells you this is where I belong. But there is an unconversion in you that still tells you, now, and then you excuse yourself to be who you are. They will bind you leg and foot. Hand and foot. Where will they throw him? Take him away and cast him into what? Outer darkness is the tribulation period after the rapture. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And weeping and gnashing of teeth there, I say, the prostitutes, the drunkards, the armed robbers, ritual killers, they will never gnash their teeth. It's you that had the opportunity that you have now, and you were disobedient. You were joking as if you can determine your tomorrow. You are giving a condition. I say, you belong to the bride. You are supposed to be there. That is why you wangu yourself there. But there is an inspection time. And the inspection is taking place now. That's why some people, they change them. The inspection is taking place now. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But I say it will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Let me conclude today with this other parable, these two parables. One is parable of Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Amen. It's the same thing. We have made reference to this very, very often. Please try to read it on your own. It's still the same parable where he comes and then they rejected him too. And then here he is. He called his servants and then gave them talents to occupy till I come. But his people said they will not have that king to reign over them. And you saw what happened at the end. When he came, he said, let all those who refuse him, refusing to reign over them, you saw what he did to them. But where I am emphasizing is this parable today of Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 12 and verse 14. Mark chapter 11. Let me close today's own with this. And then next week we can come to grace, coming to the Gentiles and how we have fitted in. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to eat, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it, he cursed it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. He saw a fig tree. It is a parable. It is speaking about Israel having a form of religion. But when he came to see the fruit, to eat, to enjoy the fruit of that tree, praise the Lord, what happened? He found nothing there, only leaves. What is leaves? Leaves is religion. These are people worshiping God, enjoying the anointing, shouting and singing and jumping and falling under anointing that shows, that is a living church. But when you go near such people, what do you see? No fruit. And so people's Christianity is exactly like that. And once Israel did that, it cursed Israel. And they were no longer attractive for anything. And so he came also in Luke chapter 13, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. Luke chapter 13, verse 6, 7, and 8, 9. He said, he spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. He's the one that planted it all. He found none. Next verse. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and found none. That is the 3 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ in Israel. He found none. What did he say? Cut it down. Why cumbered it the ground? But there was an advice for him. The keeper of the vineyard, intercessor, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. I will put fertilizer. I will try my best. And if it bear fruit, well, we'll be happy. And if not, if it doesn't bear any fruit, after you give me some time, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Verse 10. Amen. Let's stop in verse 9. If you understand that, he said, give me some time. You own at 3 years, you do. Give me some more time. Let me try. And between the time that he was cut off, that extra time was given to the Jews to repent. A further 37 years or more. Because from 1833, when Christ was cut off, Israel remained like that. They were getting worse and worse, killing the disciples, killing some, crucifying some, jailing them, doing all they were doing. God endured. Shall you say, make a leave, whether something can happen to them. 37 years, he waited, and in AD 70, he came and cut that nation down, scatter it. I'm sure there will be Jews that will not know why people who are covenant people of God suddenly began to suffer. You should know now. We are to learn from their mistakes. To know that as he cut them off, so also he can cut you off too. Oh yes. Apostle Paul taught us that in Romans chapter 11. Yes. So that you will understand why Apostle Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The same Apostle Paul telling those of us that are anointed, telling those of us that have received this grace, we see vision, we cast out devils, we hear the voice. I hear some ministers say, I heard the Lord speaking to me to my right ear. You see? I hear people that discern, that perform mighty miracles, signs and wonders. Men and women, all over the Christian world. This is because you have received an anointing. You have received a rain. Then Apostle Paul, in verse 7 and verse 8 of Hebrew chapter 6. Can we read it? For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth perhaps meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Verse 8. But that which beareth thorns after the rain has fallen, what you are producing is thorns and briars. What is done to that? It is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned in the lake of fire. You have no option again, because that anointing is supposed to make you to be a better Christian than those of us who have not received the kind of experience you received. You see? That's why they were cut off. That is what we have to take note. Evidence of salvation. Fruit. He expected fruit from the first partakers of grace. He will not expect less from the second partakers, the Gentile church. The emphasis is fruit. I've said it. And I say all these things so that you will know what to use to rate whether you are a Christian or not. I'm talking to you that have received the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to you that believe now you are converted. What will you use to confirm that you are now converted? What do you use? It is the fruit. And we look at other things next Sunday. God bless you. Can we bow down our heads? Can we bow down our heads? Wherever you are, this is a serious moment. I want you to talk to God. Lord, help me to discover myself. Let me not be saved by assumption. If Jesus comes to reward his servant, will you be among them? If Jesus comes to reward his servants, will you be there to receive your own reward too? Talk to him, talk to him. Talk to him, oh, it's a personal thing now. Last a message for somebody.
When Jesus comes to reward his servant, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will find us watching. Be the lambs all trim and bright. Oh, can we say, oh, can we say, we are ready, brother, ready for the soul. My Lord, may he will find, may he will find. Waiting when the Lord shall fall. Oh, can we say, oh, can we say, we are ready, brother, ready for the show. My Lord, watching, you and me, see what's waiting, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall
Ah.
For somebody here this afternoon. All this sacrifice you make will be in vain. If at the end you lose heaven, you don't go in the rapture and you are cast to outer darkness. Tribulation catch you here. What did you benefit from right assembly?
to the Savior. Make no delay. He in His word, He has shown us the way. Here in the midst, He's standing today. Tenderly saying, come, oh joyful, joyful,
joyful, joyful, we are made to be.
Right there, we have joy.
When from sin,
oh,
out of your
heaven, we shall gather. Let every heart leap on and rejoice, and let us freely make Him a choice. Do not delay, but come joyful, joyful,
joyful, joyful. When from sin,
then we shall call the Lord. And we shall gather, Lord, with Thee.
And we shall gather,
Savior,
Savior, with Thee. In our eternal home.
That's the attraction, brother. That's the attraction, sister. We have a hope. We have a hope. There's a gathering that is coming up. And it's a joyful gathering. A gathering of the overcomers.
Tenderly,
will not you dress?
Will
joyful, joyful, joyful we are made to be.
When
I see our God free,
and we shall Savior with me, be our anchor now.
In Jesus' name, may we all be part of that gathering in the name of Jesus Christ. I know I'm not talking to everybody, but I know I'm talking to somebody. That one person that may be here, that will hear me and take what we are saying seriously. Endure to the end. You will not regret it. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. Abraham saw a city with foundations. And the way he saw it, he knew that the builder cannot be man. This must be God. He desired to go to that city. Therefore, he lived his life like a pilgrim, ready to go anytime. And that is how every one of us who have caught a revelation of the land beyond the river, the great beyond, the heaven that is prepared for a people that are referred to as overcomers, that will overcome this world and all the temptations and all the attractions. May you be found among that number in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your patience. Okay, welcome back. Hope you have been able to pick something from this little sermon we are able to give, continuation of salvation, the evidence of salvation. And please feel free, call any of our numbers if you need any clarification. And keep watching this channel and we'll be glad that you get connected to us when you give us feedback of the impact of messages like this in your life. And if I've made any mistake too, please feel free to contact us and point our mistakes to us in the course of the message. We are not done with yet with the topic, and we will continue again. And hopefully the last part, I hope so. God bless you. See you there.